This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Dr. Carl Bamlett, the Modern Caveman, a show that helps you to reshape your modern life using wisdom from the past.
This week on the Modern Caveman, we welcome Sam McSorley to the set. We're going to be talking about leaky gut and central sensitization syndrome. So I look forward to this show to come.
Good. Thanks for having me, Carl.
You're welcome.
Good to be back.
Welcome to the show, and it's just me and Sam in the office this week because Cuz is away in Vanuatu. As you may remember from a show back in, I think around February, he announced that he was doing a fundraiser, and he ended up getting a trip to see where the funds are going to help in Vanuatu. So he's excited to go check that out.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Lots of effort, eh?
Oh, absolutely. He's a very inspired man.
Yeah, wow. And I guess sanitation is still one of the biggest issues that they're trying to work through at the moment. Yeah.
Very big issues affecting their health. Mm. But on to the health of our listeners.
Yes,
so
indeed.
So, Sam, you're here to join us today to talk about leaky gut and central sensitization syndrome.
Yes, yeah. So we know a lot about leaky gut. It's a term that's coined quite loosely, I think, in society. But it is a bit of a phenomenon in terms of how it impacts on lots of health conditions and how that leads on to a condition called central sensitivity syndrome, which is a condition that was coined back in 2000 by a chap who studies fibromyalgia. He's been studying it for the last 30 years. And what he had noticed was that there was a common family of conditions that were grouped into this leaky gut, which causes central sensitivity syndrome. Mm. And those conditions are fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, idiopathic cystitis, which is a cystitis that there's no bacteria that we can see involved in the etiology of it, but nevertheless, there's still inflammation of the bladder and that frequent urination. Depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, chemical sensitivity disorder, Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, systemic sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis are all coming under this central sensitization syndrome. And one of the causes is the leaky gut. And we know that the lifestyle by which we lead can cause a leaky gut. NSAIDs can cause a leaky gut. Excessive exercise can cause leaky gut. Yep. Emotional stress can cause leaky gut. But if we just labour on nutrition to start with, and we know that gluten can induce a protein called zonulin, and zonulin is vitamin D dependent, as are our colon cells. And in the presence of gluten, you have this upregulated zonulin, which causes the gap junctions in between your intestinal cells to open up. And what you get is you get what we thought was just particles of bacteria passing through this intestinal membrane, which is there to protect us and stop things getting into our bloodstream. It's causing complete bacteria to cross the membrane of the intestinal tract. And so we call that bacterial translocation. And that sets up your innate immune response, which is your first line of defense. And so you get these cytokines crossing over the membrane, causing a low-grade systemic inflammatory response. And then that eventually those cytokines make their way up into the brain and are able to cross the blood-brain barrier. Mm. And the reason that they're able to cross the blood-brain barrier is that we can see that the blood-brain barrier has significant transport receptor sites for cytokines to cross over. Okay. And I hadn't realized until I started researching this that the brain largely is an innate immune response. There's very little acquired immunity in the brain. And that's firstly so that we are protected from infection and, you know, reduce our risk of meningitis and all other sorts of nasty things crossing this barrier. This is like a membrane barrier. But cytokines are able to pass through. And this chronic innate immune response that occurs, you get elevated cytokines and causes this neuroinflammation. Mm-hmm. And this leads into the central sensitization syndrome that we're talking about, which is common to those conditions that we discussed in the beginning.
Let's recap that a little bit, because there might have been some terminology that our listeners might not have understood there. So what we're gathering from this is that people use gluten for one instance. Other food intolerances could do a similar type of thing.
Absolutely.
So gluten goes into the body, it upregulates the zonulin, and this then breaks down the gap junctions, the tight little things that hold our cells together in the intestinal lining.
Yes.
And so when that starts to break down, then we start getting food particles and bacteria and other things that get into the system, and we have an upregulation of cytokines and other inflammatory markers, and as well as an increased immune response that would happen in the body as well.
Yep.
Then these cytokines go through the blood up into the brain and, well, everywhere in the body, but up in the brain where the blood-brain barrier usually blocks everything.
Yes.
It lets these cytokines and other inflammatory markers come through and cause neural inflammation.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yep.
So leaky gut is something we've talked about a few times in here, and we'll just recap those bits because people probably heard this a few times. And we talked often about the GI and the immune issues that this can cause, and some of the issues that it can cause also with the hypothalamic pituitary thyroid adrenal axis, or the HPTA axis.
Yes.
And this is kind of a new step to it of how it's affecting in a different way in which it affects.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's papers just come out in June this year, so this is quite groundbreaking information that's coming through on leaky gut. Mm-hmm. And because of these cytokines and this inflammatory response that gets induced in the brain, it's raised the question, why does the brain have all these transport systems in place to take up cytokines? And I mean, the hypothesis is that, well, the brain's quite isolated up there and it needs to have a good idea of actually what's going on with the rest of the body. And that's likely why that is the case. And also to protect the brain, of course, it is the primary mechanism. But when you get this neuroinflammation, and you can see this in PET scans of people with chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia or post-traumatic stress disorder and depression, insomnia, multiple sclerosis, you can see in the PET scan it's almost all red, which is indicating inflammation. And then that actually impacts on how the hypothalamus is able to take information. Now, the hypothalamus is a small gland. It regulates everything in the body, from temperature to light coming in through your pupils, the clothes, the hair on your skin, everything. And so its ability to take in information becomes a bit compromised. And so that's when you start to get this dysregulation with all the other body systems, and you can have increased pain going on, which would be typical of a chronic fatigue or fibromyalgic patient. Mm-hmm. Differences with melatonin levels and serotonin levels, so you can get depression and you can get insomnia. And so you can start to see how leaky gut, which is classed as our second brain, can be the starting point for lots of conditions. And naturopathically, we've always believed that philosophy, and I know as a chiropractor you have as well, but it does all start in the gut. Looking at the vagus nerve, which is one of our 10
cranial nerves?
Cranial nerves, thank you. Believing as well that possibly that's feeding up cytokines up into the brain stem as well. And that's, you know, causing lots of havoc there. Viruses are believed to be residing in the vagus nerve as well, which is causing that gut-brain axis issues, which are typical of the central sensitization syndrome.
Oh, that's very interesting.
It is, isn't it?
Mm. Mm. And one thing you see in patients that come in with one of these things, that they're usually grouped together in large amounts. I mean, there's pain, there's the depression, there's the anxiety. All those things are going more hand in hand. And as our society gets to be more unhealthy as a whole by eating these foods for such a long time, the neurodepressive disorders seem to be on the rise.
Absolutely. And this is what we now are seeing as, I know, as again, I'll go back to naturopaths and chiropractors, we've had this philosophy that there's all these different systems involved in a disease. It's not, or illness, it's not just one body system that's collapsed, so to speak. And so we're looking at this now as formalizing naturopathic and chiropractic philosophy, and we're calling it the mosaic disease concept, which is around looking at, well, okay, if we look at, say, insomnia, it's not necessarily just a central nervous system problem. It could be an immune problem, which is causing cytokines to be released. It could be a digestive problem. It could be a metabolic disorder, or it could be a central nervous system disorder. But all of those together is likely probably what it all is. Absolutely. So that's why you're looking at it all as a mosaic concept.
Absolutely. Mm. And that's just talking about my mindset when treating patients is I never look at the symptoms. I'm sure you don't do the same thing. Yeah. It's pointless to look at the symptoms because every body can express the same issue in a different way.
Yeah.
And so chasing that is kind of the opposite of what we do, and that's where you go to get the pill if you want to chase those symptoms. And that's kind of the model that set that up for that.
Yeah, and that's why that mosaic disease concept is quite good, because you can see a Roman tile, a Roman man, and made up of this brown and cream and tan and terracotta tiles. Mm-hmm. And then if you take them out and replace them into a fish, that might represent rheumatoid arthritis, whereas the Roman man might have represented multiple sclerosis. Mm. But they're all still tiles, and they've all been put together in a different way, but they've come from a similar background. And so it's just looking at the person as an individual, that not one size fits all when you're treating people. You have to look at them all as individuals, and we all adapt to stress differently from our personalities and our character. And we know that stress, whatever that stress is, whether it's emotional, physical or mental, does impact on the starting point for leaky gut, which can set you up for those things we talked about.
Absolutely. So on top of avoiding gluten, we also avoid the typical common food intolerances. The dairy, the soy are also very common ones in there. And the paleo diet, which we talk about on here regularly, is the best way to avoid all that stuff.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
And along with that, also including stress-relieving activities into your life, yoga, breathing exercises, meditation, whatever it is, those are some of the best ways to avoid these things as well, right?
Yeah, breathing is something that we've forgotten to do. We all just breathe halfway into our lungs, but we're not breathing freely and using our full lung capacity. And so by just breathing properly and sleeping well, you can start to unravel. And the body always wants to heal, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It's designed to do that. And if you give it the right environment to heal, which I think is what you're saying, is a good starting point. Breathing and sleeping are two key things you've got the power to do yourself.
I think one of the funny things is that the food can break down this lining with the increase in the zonulin and that mechanism that you talked about earlier, but also the stress can do it via the cortisol, which we've talked about many times on the show, and we've really, really hit on that a lot. Just how the body can show you that you're not living the right way is essentially what it's kind of doing. You're not doing the right thing. You got to change this. You got to change that.
Yeah.
And it just kind of tells you.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we're finding with, that's good that you raise cortisol, because what we find with central sensitization syndrome is that they have baseline cortisol. They don't seem to have those peaks that we normally would in a diurnal rhythm, which is a daytime rhythm of cortisol, which peaks when about half an hour after you get up. Then it peaks again about 11 a.m. and then again at 4 p.m. and then again at 7. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of flatlined so that you're able to sleep, because it does keep you awake. Mm-hmm. And what we find is that they baseline through the day, but they've got peaks through the night, which is why they've got these sleeping issues that are going on. And that's all to do with this neuroinflammation that we talk about, and the hypothalamus not quite being able to pick up and deliver the right messages to, say, the pituitary gland and the adrenal glands to output cortisol as it should be.
Absolutely. That's very interesting findings. And that kind of shows that the body's meant to be in that kind of system where you're awake during the day, asleep at night. And when you throw out everything in the food and everything else, then the whole body's just out of whack and it just doesn't perform right.
Yeah. And the best thing you can do is just, start eating regularly, snacking, hydrating, good exercise, but not excessive exercise, because we know that that's not good for your health either. Mm-hmm. And just getting back to the basics essentially is what to do.
And excessive is a case by case basis, because what may be excessive for me may not be excessive for someone who's just getting up off the couch for the first time at night and trying to get some exercise in.
That's right, and that brings us to the point of you can do blood tests and saliva tests, and I know in the States now to measure cortisol they're using hair analysis, which is giving far more accurate indication of that person's cortisol baseline over 3 months. And we're not able to do that with blood or saliva. So those are key things, that whilst results can give us some indication, they're just a snapshot in time of when that blood or saliva was taken. And I think really just looking at that person's case history can tell us an awful lot. I mean, we know somebody can have thyroid problems but show completely normal in the thyroid blood tests, but they're definitely subclinical hypothyroid. And so it gives us an indication, but it's not, you're not treating the results, are you? Treating the patient.
Absolutely. There are a lot of these patients out here, and you can find them very easily.
Yes.
And one thing that I think is important to to convey to the listeners out there that might be a little bit downtrodden and a little bit under the weather because they just are constantly told there's nothing wrong or there's nothing to do. That this is a long process to get through. And changing your routine and sticking with that is the single best way, in my opinion, to get through that. And would you reflect those?
Yeah, it takes a lot of self-discipline mm-hmm. and courage because when you can be downtrodden by, your health professional telling you that, everything's normal. And, a lot of people leave feeling like it's a somatic illness, that it's in their mind, and it's not. I mean, your patients know their body better than anybody, and, they're not coming to you because they want to. They're coming to you because they have to. And I always refer to myself as a resort practitioner because often naturopaths and natural health practitioners are last resort practitioners, that people have gone through the medical system successfully or not to come to us.
So Sam, I would like to thank you for being on the show today. And how can all of our listeners out there who might want to contact you about this topic or any other topics you've been on for, how would they be able to reach you?
They can reach me just through sammcsorley.co.nz, or I can be found at the Alpha Omega Clinic. I work just a few hours there, but nevertheless, you can contact me there. And yeah, so easy to find me. I think I'm maybe the only Sam McSorley in Christchurch from what I can tell. A bit like Carl Bamlett.
Only one in the world.
So yeah, easy to find. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Cavemen didn't have cancer. Here's Dr. Carl with his tip of the day.
Okay, so a health tip of the day or for the week would be just making sure that you have enough fiber in your diet. One of the key things that I see in the standard Western diet is that people are a bit slack on that with breakfast. Breakfast tends to be a really high carbohydrate diet. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of ways that you can get a good, healthy breakfast into you. You can make a homemade rosti with kumara and spinach and capsicums and all sorts of wonderful vegetables and just pop that in, and you can have it with some avocado, and that just makes such a delicious breakfast. Mm-hmm. It does take time, but I think we live in a society now where we think that food should be effortless. Mm. That's just absolute nonsense. To eat well, you have to make an effort.
I hear a lot of people say that they deserve to be healthy. They don't deserve this or that, but you deserve what you work for, is what I've always been taught.
Yeah, I think so too. And, if you need to spend an hour and a half in the kitchen to make your food from scratch at night, then that's what you have to do. I mean, that's how you're going to get good health. And breakfast in the morning, if you need to get up 20 minutes earlier to have a great breakfast, because if you have a great breakfast, you don't need to have anything until lunchtime, because you've got your good carbs, fats, and proteins going on in there. So good breakfast, look out good breakfast. Paleo breakfasts are the way to go.
Absolutely, I 100% agree with that. Last night on the news, I saw a story about the underfunding of the health sector and how a gentleman was sent home on a bus from the ER because they just didn't have enough money to keep him there and treat him the way that he felt that was necessary. One thing that's an obvious issue that's going on is the underfunding. But is it underfunding because we're not putting enough into it, or is it because the people are so unhealthy that we're demanding so much money out of the system that we all have to contribute to and pay for? So as we're all paying for this, realize that when all these different areas need more money, need more funding, it has to come from somewhere. And so if we're in a never-ending process of increasing how much money is needed for healthcare, as has happened in the U.S., and it's an astronomical bill there, you have to try and work on the health of the people so that they don't require as much, because there is a point where we just can't pay for it anymore. And healthcare for everyone is going to suffer. So take care of your health a little bit, and that will help everyone else, because we won't have to split the bill for these expensive tests and laboratory results and have as many chronic issues going on.
That's absolutely right. I think we've lost the sense of self-responsibility for our own health, haven't we, until we get to the bottom of the heap and we expect everything to be available to us. And it is now, but it's not going to be forever, because the baby boomers we're living longer than we ever have, and more taxing on the healthcare system. It's a massive problem in New Zealand.
Absolutely. And it's you take a $10,000 test that you have to do with MRI and blood work and all this, and you do that however many times for a person, it's not affordable in the long run.
Yeah.
And we have to get on top of our own health and kind of promote this from within.
Absolutely. And just start eating well is one of the first things you can do. You've got the control to do it.
Thank you.
like to thank our listeners tuning in on Plains FM 96.9 in Canterbury, Free FM 89 in Hamilton, and Fresh FM 104.8, 95.0, and 88.9 in Nelson, as well as on the Kapiti Coast. You can find our podcast on Facebook at Dr. Carl Bamlett, the Modern Caveman. I'd like to thank Sam McSorley for joining us today. She was a great guest on our show.
Thanks for having me.
On behalf of Carl Waratini, I am Dr. Carl Bamlett, reminding you that you can't change from within, on the outside looking in.
Thank you for listening to Dr. Carl Bamlett, the Modern Caveman. For more healthy lifestyle tips, find Dr. Carl on drcarlbamlett.com and like him on Facebook. I'm Pascal Betrick, signing off for Dr. Carl Bamlett, the Modern Caveman.